This podcast is brought to you by Julius Meinl Coffee. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
But jumping right on into it, we do have a win to talk about this week after spending last week discussing three not so positive results. And in the studio to discuss the crucial result, we are joined by James and Philip Riccobene. Good evening, fellas. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad.
That's good. That's good. How are you guys feeling after the weekend? James, you played, and Phil, you, I think, are nursing a bit of a groin injury. So how are the bodies holding up?
You want to go first?
I'm probably a little bit sorer than you, considering I've played. But no, body's good. Body's been very good, treating me very well this year. So far, so good. Touch wood.
I ended up straining my hip flexor. It was the Port Melbourne game, and it was just the last sort of passing drill in the warm-up, so I felt it sort of tighten up, and I spoke to the medical staff and spoke to Zoc, and I said, you know, maybe best if I pull the pin and sort of nurse it. And I've gotten the all clear. I actually went and saw the physio today. And they give me the all clear. So, yeah, with a bit of luck, I'll train tomorrow and hopefully be up for it for this weekend.
Back in action against South Melbourne. Excellent news. So taking a look back at the weekend, though, so we were taking on Kingston City. It was a 3-1 win at the Grange Reserve, a huge win, let's be honest, brings to an end, you know, a 5-game winless streak. So taking a look at the result, James, how big of a result is it for, you know, our season so far?
Yeah, it's massive. Definitely after the when you look at the past 5 weeks or so, not getting the win. I wouldn't say our football has been like underdone. We've definitely played well over the last 5 weeks. But when you look at the at the end of the day, you look at the scoreboard after the 90 minutes, and that's what you kind of take it by. So when you look at it like that, probably not the greatest 5 weeks, but when you look at the form that we've been in, it's pretty hard to compare over the last probably our first 10 games. So when you've got 10 wins on the board in a row, even if you do get a draw here and there, it's probably looking at it as a bit of a down patch for the club. But that's what happens when you get such a great start to the season. Crucial win, great win by the boys, great character, and fingers crossed we kick on now.
Well, coming into the game, what was the mood like among the players, among the group? Because, I mean, was there a lot of pressure? Were you nervous? Could you sort of like feel it as a playing group, like the anticipation or the expectation to get a result? Did that weigh on you at all?
No, like I said, the results probably haven't been there the last 5 weeks, but the style that we've been playing and the shift that the boys have been putting in has been second to none. So I think it was just a matter of just keep doing what we've been doing, and the results will obviously follow. And that's exactly what happens on Saturday night. And probably wasn't the best way to start the game, going down 1-0 in the first, I think it was, what, 4 or 5 minutes. Look, we know what we need to do. We had belief, and it was just a matter of just doing the same things that we've been doing for the last 14, 15 weeks, and just getting that goal. So once we did get that goal, even with 10 men, I think we pretty much dominated the entire game.
And it was a danger game coming into it, I guess, with Kingston desperate to get out of that relegation scrap. They just had a win the week previous, so it would have been pretty buoyed coming into it. What was the message from the coaching staff to, you know, deal with a team that's got that desperation, that edge?
Yeah, Zoc basically said, you know, this game's not going to be an easy one. We haven't had really much joy at Kingston's ground. We've always found it quite difficult to get the points there. The message hasn't really changed, you know, throughout the whole year. Zoc just said, you know, don't underestimate anyone. Especially when you're sort of fighting relegation, you just give it all you got. It's funny because I remember I was saying to one of the boys at halftime, I thought Zoc was going to just go crazy and sort of have a crack at the boys. And it was a complete opposite. It was really calm. All three coaches were really calm and said, you know, just keep playing. The goals will come. And that's credit to the lads. That's what they did. And, yeah, the result sort of spoke for itself.
We're just sort of jumping back a little bit because, James, you sort of mentioned the fact that Kingston, you know, took the lead so early on in the fifth minute or whatever. What was going through your head when they scored? Because from my perspective at least, you know, on the sidelines, Kingston scored, and then that was sort of followed up by a tough first half where once again, you know, we had a bunch of chances but just couldn't quite get that end result. So, you know, from the sidelines, it kind of felt like here we go again. You know, like did that come across at all? Or
I don't think so. Or definitely not for myself or the boys that were around me. I think if you actually watch the replay, I think once they did score, I think it was myself, grabbed the ball straight away and straight back to the halfway line and we go again kind of thing. So, look, it's obviously not nice to cop goals, but it's like if we do what we do best, we know we're going to score 4 or 5 goals a game. So it's just a matter of putting them chances away. And I think straight away, I think in the first 10 minutes after they scored that goal, I think we had 2 good proper chances. I think we hit the bar a couple of minutes later. So it just... Look, it's a fine line, and I have no doubt, like, it might be next week, it might be a couple of weeks later, where we're going to put them chances away, and it's going to be a 6-7-0 game. It's just one of them things that it needs to happen, and it will. And at the moment, it's just a fine line, just kind of yes or no kind of thing. So,
well, sort of got a bit of a hint of that in the second half. Liam Boland scored 3 goals, and we ended up, you know, running away 3-1 victors. So what changed in the second half?
I wouldn't say nothing really changed. Like we just keep doing what we've been told to do.
We played better when Scotty got the red card, I think. That's what I said to him after the game.
You probably would say we played better when me and Zinni come off as well. So probably not the best person to ask that question for.
Well, that red card was really weird because it was a jam-packed 8 minutes of action. So Liam Boland scored and then, you know, again from the sidelines you go, great, here we go, we're going to run away with it, we're going to roll over the top of them. And then almost, I think it was within 2 minutes of that, Scotty got red carded again. So like from a player's perspective, does that change, does that sort of kill momentum when you're like, you know, you get that goal, you're like, all right, here we go, and then all of a sudden you're down a man, you've got this big disadvantage going into the rest of the game?
Like Phil said, I reckon we started playing a little bit better with 10 men. It's probably harder sometimes with some teams like coming up against 10 men because you work during the week to play against 11 men. So as soon as you go down one, then it kind of like throws a few spanner in the works to say, all right, well, how are we going to set up? And then it might be something like them actually pushing a few more players forward, which is obviously exploits some of the errors, and we're able to get Joy out wide and obviously score an extra 2 goals after that as well. So I think it's one of the things that, we don't really change the way we play. Obviously, if we're chasing the game, we're still going to go for gold, basically. Whether we've got 10 men, whether we've got 8 men, we want to win as a team, and that's what we do. We win.
I think there's a theme we've seen from all the first team players we've really chatted to over the last few weeks of kind of trusting that style and that process. And, you know, football can be a random and cruel game where you create all the chances and you lose 1-0 or you draw and, you know, the ball doesn't go in the back of the net despite you having the better of the play. And it doesn't seem like there's been too much wrong with the performances over the last few weeks despite the adverse results. So is it just a matter of, you know, keeping the faith?
Yeah, look, we've had chances. Yeah, you can't say that, you know, the last 4 weeks we haven't had chances to actually win the game. And it's not like we haven't been playing bad football at all. We've been playing really well. Mm. You know, it's just one of those things that happen. And the, you know, credit to the coaches. They keep drilling into us, you know, every training session. You just need to be patient, keep doing what you're doing, keep believing in the system, because, you know, it is going to come off. And, you know, it's been so far a really great year. So we just need to keep building up on that. I think the win on Saturday just takes it to another level, especially going down and winning the game as well comfortably. It's a lot of positives to take out of the game.
What does that do for momentum heading into the second half of the year?
You could say it's probably the business end of the year now, coming up towards the last 10 games or so. Clubs have a bit of an idea of what you're about. I think at the start of the season we had maybe 5 or 6 players that we've added in from last year that come pretty much straight into the first 11. So we probably caught a few teams off guard. A lot of teams that didn't really know what we were about probably didn't realise how good we actually were. And like I said, that proved in the first 10 weeks or so. So we're getting results, not only getting results, but we're actually pretty much battering teams. Second half of the season is always a bit tougher. Teams obviously going to adapt to the way that we play, and from there obviously set up in a certain way to kind of stop and frustrate us as a team, and we just got to obviously work around that, and just kind of work out a style of play that's going to obviously get us the result at the end of the day.
What do you make of the quality in NPL Victoria this season? Because for me, it seems like the teams at the bottom, there seems to be the gap closing a little bit, and any team can upset any other team. And the fact that, you know, Avondale first team's had a few slip-ups over the past few weeks, but you've still maintained a four-point lead at the top of the table, considering other teams have sprung upsets on the likes of Heidelberg. It seems to be, you know, you take that at the start of the season as well.
Yeah, look, it's like James said, you know, other teams strengthen than that. In hindsight, we're not losing games. You know, we're still picking up points. And especially this time of the year where the grounds get a little bit more heavier, you know, maybe injuries come into it. At the moment, the squad's still healthy.
Branson's Twitter fingers freeze in the cold. You know, it's always difficult.
I heard he was on the bench live on Twitter. So, look, we just need to just keep doing our thing and just keep trusting the process and you know, as long as we keep playing well, we keep picking up points, you know, we are going to have off games. It's just how well do we adapt to it and how well do we respond.
So let's get into, you know, your guys' history as players, obviously as brothers as well. I mean, it's an interesting journey you've both been on in terms of, you know, your past clubs and how you've, you know, reunited it at Avondale.
Yeah, so basically I started off my career at Green Gully. I started off in, I think, my first senior game. Actually, it's funny, my first senior game was at the Calabria Club back in 2004. So quite some time. And now I'm playing for Avondale, and the home ground is Calabria Club, which is nice. So I spent a lot of time at Gully. Then I made a move to Altona, where we won it 2 years in a row. After Altona, I then made my way to Hume City. Spent a couple of seasons there. From Hume, ended up going to Port Melbourne, where James was. Spent two seasons there, and then from there I made the move to Avondale.
So you mentioned that you were at Green Gully and that your first senior game was actually at the Reggio. You were talking before as well that you actually have another sort of Avondale-Green Gully connection, but more so with the people you were playing with when you were at Green Gully. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically the three coaches were teammates of mine. So I broke into the Gully squad when Andy, Jeff and Zoc were players. So you can basically say I did my apprenticeship under those three players.
A little while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Jeff had hair?
Yeah, Jeff had hair back then. And so it was quite some time ago. It's sort of funny to adapt because I know them on a personal level as well. But yeah, look, they've blossomed into great coaches, and they've transitioned really well. So it's good to see. They've obviously got a great relationship between the three of them. And look, it's nice to have them as coaches because, you know, one, I know I'm on a personal level. Two, they get the best out of me.
And what about growing up together? Obviously, you would have been a bit competitive, I imagine. A lot of games in the backyard, competition between the two of you.
Few broken glasses, a few broken windows. It was funny though. Dad actually started playing AFL, so he was pretty big on AFL. And I think you turned around and said, "I want to try out soccer." And I think Dad didn't really have a bar of it, kind of thing. He was all right. Well, where do we start now? And pretty much the rest is history. I pretty much followed his footsteps. So I started off at Green Gully. Because he was there already at the time. He was, I think, just breaking into the first team, and I was under eights, I believe. Funny enough, I was the mascot for the senior team, walking out with, I think, Zocchi a few times, at the captain back then as well. So I started off at Green Gully, then kind of deviated away, went to Altona Magic for a year. From there, I ended up at South Melbourne, spent a year with the reserve team, and then kind of broke into the first team with, I think it was Eddie Cringevich at the time. Made the move to Hume City, and then I was fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time with the Victory Youth setup. That was obviously a nice little time being full-time. And then from there, going over to Port Melbourne, which pretty much started off my senior career. And yeah, just I think it was 4 or 5 years there, and then made the move to Avenger Park. Oh, I think, well, it wasn't Avenger Park at the time, to Avondale, down at Doyle Street. And yeah, so slowly moving up the ranks, and hopefully a bit of a push for silverware this year, hopefully.
Do you find that like your career paths have sort of almost followed each other at all? Has that sort of had any kind of factor, you know, because you spend some time together and then go on to different clubs, you know, so starting at Green Gully, then you were both at Port Melbourne together, then Phil, you left, and then now you're back together at Avondale. Is there anything behind that, or is that just sort of the way that things happen to fall? Or
oh, we've obviously deviated in careers, and obviously crossed paths along the way as well. But football's a small community, and look, at the end of the day, there's only, 14 teams or in the league. So I'm sure you're going to cross paths with not only him, but many players along the way. I see players that I've played with 4 or 5 years ago, and now I'm playing with them now. So it's just, like I said, it's a small community. Cross paths with majority of people along the way.
And what attracted you both to Avondale? Obviously, you're some of the longer-serving players there now.
Yeah, basically, 2015, when they got promoted to NPL, I was just about to make a move from Port, and sort of was looking, and had a call from Jeff. And Jeff was obviously a player at the time, and he said, you know, I'm starting a new chapter, because he was at Green Gully for so long, and he decided to make the move to Avondale. And he's like, you know, they've got a great club, great setup there. They've got big ambitions, and, you know, I'm looking at having a crack there. Are you interested? Because he heard that I sort of was making a move. Obviously thought about the whole process and that, and spoke to a few people and sort of asked them what Avondale was about, and, you know, did my homework. And, yeah, I made a decision to go there, and I'm still there now. So very happy.
So you've been at the club for about 5 years now, I think, if I've done my quick math correctly, which I might not have, but we'll move on from that one. How much have you seen the club change since you were initially there? So obviously when you first joined, it was there, our first season in the NPL, so we were sort of, you know, relative minnows at the time. But, you know, how's that transition from gone from just wanting to survive in the NPL to sort of being where we are now, which is, you know, NPL top dogs on top of the ladder? So how's that sort of changed?
Look, a lot has changed at the club. Obviously, club personnel, they always had the same ambition. They always wanted to be the best at what they do and really strive for success. So none of those morals have changed. Obviously, you know, we've shied away now from Doyle Street, and in the meantime of finding a ground, we spent a little bit of time at Melbourne Knights, and now finding the Calabria Club, you know, they've really found their feet, and they're looking at develop that and making that their fortress, which is great. So, look, the club has come a long way. There's some really great people running the club, and, you know, now that they've got themselves some good coaches there and you know, a great playing group. It's changed a lot, but it's exciting.
Well, so let's talk about like the facilities and stuff. So you mentioned Doyle Street, and you mentioned, you know, having to play a couple of seasons at the Knights, or at least one season at the Knights, and now playing back at Avenger Park. How crucial is it to have your own stadium? You know, you're not ground sharing. You've got your own home field advantage. You've got your own locker rooms where you can keep your shoes or whatever, everything sort of set up. Chris Oldfield's ginormous speaker, all that sort of stuff. Like, does that play a big role, or am I reading too much into that?
No, I think so. Definitely. Look, every team tries to have their home ground as basically as a fortress, and I think that's what we're trying to implement at Avenger Park. So it starts off with having a set ground, your set rooms. Like we said, it is about convenience at the end of the day as well. Being able to not bring your boots to every session wherever you go, because you've chopped and changed 3 times in the 1 week. It's good just to have that, obviously, that base there. And it has a really, really good like toll on the body as well, with injuries-wise. So your body does adapt to a certain ground. So if you're chopping and changing, your body's always adapting, and that's when obviously injuries can occur. So look, it's always a big benefit having the one ground where your body does adapt to that specific surface. And that obviously plays a big part in a season because, like we said, the best teams usually have a big squad, not just your first 11. It takes a whole 16, 17 players to achieve things. So they're the finer details that obviously play a big part in the success of teams as well.
Take us behind the scenes for the supporters. I mean, who are the big focal people in the dressing room, the leaders? Who are the, you know, people goofing around, the quieter folks sitting in the corner? What is a day-to-day experience like, you know?
Yeah. I don't think there's a quiet one in that room, to be honest.
No, I don't think so either. Everyone's quite up and about. And it's funny, you know, boys are getting their, you know, 2 hours before game day or, you know, an hour and a half before training, which is quite unheard of. Like, I've been around the league for quite some time and I've been at, you know, involved at you know, a few clubs now. I'm seeing a few players. And this is probably by far the best change room I've ever been a part of. Like I said, game day, boys are getting there 2 hours, 2.5 hours before the game just because they're excited purely to get amongst it, get up and about for the game. And training's the same. Like, you're talking about Lundy and Steph, Valentini. Obviously, you had them in last week, so you know what kind of pair them two are. You know, we've got great leaders, you know, Oldie, Limo, good sort of young playing group coming through, and you sort of, you know, your average ages, you know, your Zinnies and Yeetays and all that sort of stuff. Look, the group from start to finish is amazing. Even the boys off the bench, everyone's doing, as a collective group, we're doing really well. And yeah, I don't know about yourself, Jimmy, what do you reckon about the change room?
Like I said, it's definitely the best change room that I've seen. Probably haven't been around as long as you, but definitely seen a few change rooms in my time. In saying that, the boys are outstanding, second to none. Just the banter that goes through the group is obviously, yeah, some good comments that gets thrown about. The boys are good fun.
So is there a particular thing that you can put your finger on that makes that the group so tight? You know, is it one thing, or is it Oldfield's music? I mean, like, what?
That definitely plays a part. But I think it starts from the top. So from your coaching staff, even from the committee, like, it's look, we're obviously a successful club, but it's a small little tight knit of a club, bit of a family based club. So everyone's really, really tight within the whole club. So on the field, off the field as well. And that obviously extends down to the coaching staff. So you've got three coaches there that obviously spent a bit of time playing together throughout their careers, so that even from there, so you've got a tight coaching knit there, and that extends all the way down to the boys. So I think, yeah, starting from the top, it's just a real close knit as a whole, basically.
And the coaches know basically what it takes to win. You know, they've all won something in the past, and they know what type of, you know, culture they need, and obviously they go out and sort of, you know, sign players based on that. So like James said, it does start from the top and it works its way down.
I was going to say, I was at the Preston game, the FA Cup game, pre-kickoff, doing some commentary, and it seemed to be a pretty boisterous dressing room beneath us, music thumping pretty loudly.
It was, yeah. Definitely gets the boys up and about, especially after the game when we get a good win.
I don't know what's better, before or after the game.
Well, going into this next game against South Melbourne, you know, a team that's found some form in the last few weeks in particular, you know, what are you focusing on going into the next round?
Yeah, look, South are picking up points, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, they're definitely coming up and about. Look, we get a lot of joy at South Melbourne's ground. We have, you know, from the last couple of years. Yeah, look, nothing changes. We just work a little bit harder and a little bit smarter, and obviously the coaches will probably have a game plan as to how they want to tackle, you know, Sunday's game. We just keep doing what we're doing. We just keep working hard. You know, like I said, last Saturday against Kingston was good to take it to the next level. But for me, nothing really changes. I'm hoping with a bit of luck, you know, I train well on Wednesday and recover well on Thursday and get up and about for Friday's session. And I'll put my hand up, you know, hoping that I'm available for Sunday. And for James, it's, you know, as business as per usual.
Yeah. Look, I think the main focus for us is just focusing on ourselves, and doing, make sure we're doing the right things as a team. And I think, look, if we take care of that, then, look, we shouldn't have any problems on the park. Like we said, over the last couple of weeks, maybe we haven't been picking up points, but the football's still been outstanding. The style that we've been playing, we've created a new abundance of chances. It just, yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been a fine line. And obviously against Kingston, we put them chances away. Obviously, a few of very many. And we're hoping to do the same thing against South Melbourne on Sunday.
What lessons can we take away from that five-game winless streak and put forward, not just at the South Melbourne game, but for the rest of the second half of the year?
Just take every game as it comes, basically. Everyone's out there to kind of – we're basically the hunted at the moment. Everyone's out there to get us. So every team's going to put that extra 5-10% just because they're coming up against Avondale. So I think we need to realise that and obviously give that little bit extra as well. And like I said, it's just taking them chances that we do create. And if we do that, I don't think we should have any problems.
Should be a fantastic game on Sunday. It's always an occasion at Lakeside, 4 p.m. kickoff. You got another thing to say, Branson?
I do. I just have another question, because you mentioned, you know, this year that we're the hunted. So how much of a difference does it make being the hunted this time as opposed to at this stage last year? I think we were third, and, you know, we were chasing Bentley, we were chasing Heidelberg. The year before that, you know, same sort of thing, trying to push to try to catch those top teams. How much of a difference does it make this year being on top? Is it a different challenge? Is there more pressure psychologically? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, everyone wants to go undefeated in the league, and I think the time that we did lose against Bentley probably took a bit of pressure off us, because we then weren't the team that was undefeated. But in saying that, I think it's always good being on top. You don't want to be anywhere else but on top. And you just need to just keep working hard. In the end, you know, hard work pays off. And we've got a talented group, and the coaches keep us well in form and well in, you know, they make sure we don't get ahead of ourselves, and you know, we're not cocky about the way we approach, you know, the game day and all that. All the boys turn up, like I said, at training. They're there an hour and a half before training, and everyone puts in 110%. And even after training, you know, some of the boys are doing a little extras. So it's just about being disciplined and just working hard to, you know, obviously achieve what we all want to achieve at the end of the day, and that's getting the silverware.
Well, I think that just about covers it. Phil, James, thank you so much for coming into the FNR studios and chatting to us today on Avenger Radio. Fingers crossed you'll be fit for the weekend's game, Phil, and just keep the good times rolling.
Thank you. No worries. Thank you for having us.